Well, what's going on in the life of the church? The ladies' Bible study begins
this week.
This week.
This week.
17th.
That's this week. 2 days from.
So, the Bible study begins at Hope Crossing. Priscilla Schreier book. If you're interested, by all means, join a part of that. I'm sure you're going to be blessed, and they'll have a great time of conversation, and that'll be over on Hope Crossing. All right? Wednesday night, guess what? We're back. We're back. We're going to be studying the book of Micah. Wednesday night, we're going to start at 5 o'clock for dinner. We didn't decide on dinner, so I'm just going to do some pizza and salad and try to keep it simple for us coming back until we can decide what to do. We'll meet at 5 o'clock, and then I'll make sure to order it ahead of time. I'll probably just get Jets for us, something simple and some salad to keep us going. And then we'll gather in here for our study of the book of Micah. Looking forward to getting that back going and in line and in person. And so we'll enjoy that time. Micah's not a very big book, but there's a lot of prophecy in the book of Micah. And we'll get to enjoy some of the benefits of what Micah has to say. What's next? Fall conference. October, we're going to be doing a conference on a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday. Sunday will be at 3:30. There'll be a guest speaker. I will be hopefully out of this cast and walking by then, but who knows? The doctor does, but he's not telling me, so I'll just take it one step at a time. But I'll be there on the conference on Saturday working with the team. We'll be doing a panel discussion about women and the power of prayer and ministry. So look forward to that time. Food pantry is in the back, by all means. Remember to look at your dates when you're bringing stuff in for us. Preferably non-perishable items, Kleenex, paper towels, those essentials that individuals need. So continue to support that, and we'll send it out as the need arises. What else? QR code, BethanyChurchOfGod.org. We are just blessed at what God is doing. Just an update. I try to keep you informed as to what's going on. The furnace application and all the details have been set. We're waiting for a date right now. Estimates totally are around $17,300. With the permits and all of the details for it, so we've tried to set it up so that we don't take all of our cash at once, but if you're interested in helping with that, by all means, just earmark it towards the furnace, and we'll be blessed with what God is doing. We're thankful for that. Hopefully you get a chance to watch some football today. I don't know if you'll see football. I think Jonathan's probably already down there. The game starts at 1 o'clock. It's an early game. Should tell him from now on I'll get done early so he can get up there, but no, that ain't going to happen. But they're playing Tampa Bay today. Yesterday, State whooped their opponent. Michigan won, but not very handily. Let's see, Tennessee just obliterated their opponent as well. So a couple of good games. Poor Tigers. They got all the way down to the ninth inning. Their hopes are dwindling. They got to the ninth inning. They lost 4-2. So they had two men on, two out, and just could not bring the rest of them home. So they're staying tight. They're still three games out of playoff contention. There's about 15 or 18 games left. So I know Deborah is anxiously hoping that the Tigers will make it into the playoffs, but that's all dependent on Minnesota and the Tigers and a few other elements. So we'll see. But we're watching sports and enjoying it. But we're here celebrating God's strength. Our selection for these next songs are Praise Him, Praise Him, which is a familiar one for us. And then she's not here today, so you're going to have to tell her I sang her song. She said to me last week, oh, the old rugged cross. Well, guess what I did? I included it today thinking she was going to be here. She doesn't get to sing it, so we're going to sing it without her. So hopefully she'll be singing it at home. So we're singing Praise Him, Praise Him, the old rugged cross. And then leading into a time of prayer is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I just ask that you keep the church in your prayers. I got a call this morning, a gentleman who was really in need. I don't know his name. He wasn't too happy because I didn't give him all that he wanted, but we just want to remember there's a multitude of needs out there, and people are hungry and hurting. So keep our church in our prayers, keep our sister churches in their prayers, and pray that God just fills us in this time. So let's join together and sing as you will, standing, sitting, however you're comfortable. We'll begin with Praise In, Praise In. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling
someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy that last I laid down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
As we get ready for prayer, if you want to be seated, that's fine. We're going to sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
What a friend we have in
Jesus. Boy, let me just start over there. I took a drink and I lost track, all right? Sorry.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, comfort with the load of care?
Father, we just thank you. God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for a time of prayer. We thank you, God, for you. God, that we can praise you, God, for all that you do. God, we have gathered in your house, and we worship you, Lord. We worship you because of you, and because of all that you've done. Father, we know that there's difficulties we're going to face. We know there's illness and sickness and challenges, Father. We'll have financial issues and pressure issues and family issues and work issues. And God, maybe there's a multitude of things that are on our hearts and our minds today. God, maybe we just woke up this morning and we're just not feeling well and feeling ourselves. God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would bless your people. Father, that you would, as you are here, pour out your Spirit upon them. That you would anoint them, God, with your presence, Father, both far and near. And God, your presence is in this place. God, we pray for our country. We pray for the weather and sickness and illness and the tragedies around us. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would have us. We continue to remember those who are shut in, those who are going through treatment. We continue to lift up Suzanne and Charlotte and our family that is in need, and Scott and Rob, and a multitude. Father, even those who are not with us today, maybe they're traveling down to the Lions and getting ready to root on their team. God, I pray that your peace and protection would be with your people today. Father, maybe they're at work. Maybe they're challenged with machines that are not running the way they want to be. God, I pray that you'll bless them. Bless our first responders. Bless those who serve this country, God, both near and far. Thank you, God, for those who have given their lives. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, God, that we are so grateful that there is a cross, and that cross is empty. And we're so grateful, God, that you have blessed our lives. And God, I know that you are with us today, and you're blessing your people. I pray that, Father, if we have a need, God, we would give it to you now. God, that you would pour your Spirit out upon us, that you would bless us. Father, that we would receive the fullness of your love and grace. Now, God, in a moment, we're going to break open the Scriptures. We're going to break open what we call the bread of life. Father, I pray that you'll speak through me, in me, and into the people. Father, give us a ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. Father, let these be your words and not mine. And Father, you bless everything that is said. And we'll give you thanks, and we will give you praise. In your holy name, amen. Amen. Yes, clap away. That's how you play the piano. Looking in the book of Mark this morning, we're going to kind of dialogue, a little conversation. But over the past couple of weeks, you know, I've run across a few complications in my research and had some conversation with different people and looking through the text and having trouble finding things and doing the research. And at some point, there's this little voice that says, well, you know what, maybe you should just quit now. And then there was this other voice that goes, wait a minute, you're only two classes away and you're writing your thesis and you're done and you're going to stop now? Do you ever have those voices that kind of talk to you? You think, well, I should do this and maybe I should do that. And then one voice says, yeah, go ahead. The other voice goes, no, don't do that. That's not too smart. Exactly. Throughout history, we have examples not only from the biblical times of prophets and priests and kings who have especially dealt with that, but throughout postmodernism and throughout all of history in the medieval period, we see examples of pictures and scriptures of what used to be called this angels and demons kind of conversation. Now, I remember growing up, and I could not find the commercial to save me. I looked all over the place. But there used to be this commercial of one was sitting on this shoulder and one was sitting on that shoulder. And I know it exists. And as much as I searched, I could not find the commercial, no matter what I put in there. But there was always this commercial of somebody who was going to do something, and whether it was an ad for finances, I could not remember what it was, and I looked for about a week, and I just said, you know what, I'm done. I know it exists, and I can tell you it exists, I just couldn't find it. But it was like you had this little demon on one side and an angel on the other side, do it, don't do it, do it, don't do it. But we are shown throughout the scriptures examples where Joshua even had an angel of the Lord and Satan standing to resist him. Joshua had God who was leading him and an angel on the other side, and there was this conflict. There's been this conflict since the beginning of scriptures. I kind of entitled this Left Shoulder, Right Shoulder Voice. Now hopefully you're hearing voices. Maybe not. This morning we talked a little bit about the voice of the shepherd and the sheep in John chapter 10. We talked a little bit about how Jesus said, the sheep know my voice. They hear me and they understand who I am. But this story hinges a little bit about a conversation that takes place. And we're going to look. And hopefully I can illustrate this pretty well with left shoulder, right shoulder voice. So if you will, turn with me in your scriptures to Mark chapter 8. We're going to pick up in verse 27. So if you are able, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 27. Now Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way he asked them, who do you say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Peter asked him, well, you're the Messiah. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. But whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it if someone is to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." May God have a blessing in you. Very interestingly enough, a conversation ensues between Jesus and the disciples. Very early on, we know that Jesus has fed the multitudes of 4,000. The scripture tells us about how he deals with the yeast and the Pharisees and this total idea of blind man is healed. He declares all things, and he begins to have this conversation, asking, "Who do you say I am?" Some around him would hear the voices and say, "Well, like Peter, you're the Messiah." Others would say, "Well, you're Elijah, a prophet, you're maybe John, maybe Moses, maybe someone else." And you have these range of voices that are trying to determine who Jesus is. Now, up to this point, he has not fully revealed, other than God the Father, who he really is. This is the first reply that we see in Scriptures that tells us the revelation of who he is. You notice in Mark's narrative the initial questions. The disciples are going through some intense training. So far the journey has begun, and they journey to Jerusalem. Jesus pauses to check in with the disciples near Caesarea Philippi, and he begins to report and ask the question. Some were not sure who Jesus was, and still today, I must say that there's many who don't know who he is. There's many who are not sure who God is and who Jesus is. Some report that he can't be the Son of God, because God wouldn't love us enough to take his own son and kill him for the souls of people. There was a big debate early on in the Scriptures, up until the Nicene Creed, around 343, 345, with Constantine and the multitude of those. Up until that time, they believed there were three individual people: God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. At that point in time, there was a revelation, and they began to understand that the three were individual but combined. And thus, we have this idea of the Trinity. Up until that point, we have the Scriptures before us and all of the pointed questions. Peter, 11. He has that unique ability. He wants to shout out above the crowds, "I know who you are. You're the Messiah." We know Peter gave the right answer. Peter's title, the Messiah in Hebrew, or Christ, is associated with Jewish tradition with an anointed king, a royal figure from the line of David. How could that be? A shepherd? How could Jesus be a humble servant? From the royal line. How could he free the Gentile oppressors? How could he purify the people and restore Israel's independence? How could glory be given unto him? Nothing in his career up to this point indicates that he is truly of royal ambitions or political ambitions. So far, no claim has been made. Peter hopes that when they go to Jerusalem, they will finally take on this messianic role. But Jesus tells them, "Don't say nothing." You know how hard that is. When somebody tells you a secret, somebody comes to you and says, "I need to tell you something, but you can't tell anyone." "Why are you telling me?" I always ask the question, "Then don't tell me. I don't want to know. If I can't tell everybody, then don't bother telling me." I mean, come on, let's be realistic. Shh, something's going to happen in the office. Joe is going to get a promotion and Fred's going to get fired, but don't say nothing. You know how many times over my 26 years at Ford I've heard somebody come and say, oh, I heard you're getting a promotion. Oh, really? I heard you're getting moved to so-and-so place. I heard this is going to happen. Why are you telling me? Why don't I just wait until it happens? You know how many times that happens? Oh, across the history, have we not been told how many times Jesus is coming back? Sometimes, just like the disciples, we hit rough patches. We hit scrutiny. We begin to question our motives and our intentions and our abilities. And from the narrative, Mark focuses on the discourse of Jesus and his teaching. But unfortunately, Jesus shifts the focus, not to the present, but to the future. Why does he do that? Why, in the midst of the celebration of knowing who he is, why does Mark have Jesus shifting the focus? Because the most important aspect of this conversation is not what about happening right here and now. It's about what the future holds for the church. Jesus doesn't stop asking for the public opinion poll, and it's still true today. Who do you say I am? Am I a healer? Am I love? Am I grace? Am I mercy? Is a pluralistic society where we believe Jesus can be encompassed in a number of ways. We live in such a rich society today that there's numerous ways to get to heaven, and there's numerous ways to find Jesus, and God exists in a multitude of ways, and you can have some of your Hinduistic rites, and you can have your Hare Krishna rites, and you can have your Mormon, and all different kinds of pluralistic society, and Jesus is in all of them. Is that really what he taught? We're fortunate enough to live in a place where we can still call him Christ. He continually asks the questions. Who is Jesus? Who is he to you? What is the voice telling you? Why is Mark so emphatic? It stands to reason that the mission of the church is to invite others to embark on this way with us. But why Mark in the initial question? Why would Jesus want to know right now from the disciples, who do you say I am? Because it bears witness in just a very short period that once they know who he is, he's able to reveal to them what the future will hold. It bears weight that he is the Messiah, and because he is the Messiah, he can now reveal to the disciples that he is going to have to die for the sins of the world. La, 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 la. Have you ever heard anybody do that? It's like, I don't want to hear that right now. Well, Mark shifts the text to the confrontation of the voices. As soon as Jesus begins to speak, his career as the Messiah, the rejection, the suffering, the death, Peter is quick to take him aside and said, oh, no, 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 no. No, Jesus, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Can we imagine Peter pulling Jesus aside and going, uh-uh, no, it's not going to happen. Peter, in his infinite wisdom and grace, the Messiah is supposed to conquer the Romans, not get killed by them. What good is a dead Messiah? Why the shift and why the questions from Peter? It appears like we hear what Jesus is telling us, but we don't perceive what's going on. We've never had that circumstance in our life, have we? Where somebody's telling us something, and it's not always good news, and you struggle to hear what is being said? They say many times, cancer patients who have been diagnosed with cancer, it's like a gut punch. It's like they're told the diagnosis and they wrestle with it. They can't believe it. Me? Why me? Why now? There's all these questions that arise. There's this voice in our head that says, I don't believe it. I don't want to accept it. I've never gone through it. But I've sat beside the bedside of a multitude of people. There are circumstances. Someone hears something. Oh, you just won the publisher's clearinghouse. Yeah, okay. I have to laugh. This last week, we sat at Lori and Nick's, and they have the little Alexa in their house. Some of you know Alexa. And you can talk to Alexa. So I decided on Tuesday night, being funny, I said, Alexa, what are the 6 numbers that the Mega Millions is going to bring in tonight? Alexa stops and goes, oh, according to my sources, the Mega Millions numbers will be blah, 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 and the Powerball will be this. I'm like, okay, so I wrote them down. Now, you know, how much would Alexa know? I mean, she knows the square root of an isosceles triangle. She can tell you what the weather is going to be like in the next 24 hours. She can answer a multitude of questions because, you know, Alexa's pretty smart. So my daughters decided to ask the same question. Lo and behold, you wouldn't believe this. More than 75% of the numbers were correct from Alexa. 4 out of the 6 numbers were correct, which probably would have yielded somewhere around $500 if we would have paid attention to Alexa. But we didn't want to believe her, right? Why would I believe Alexa? What does she know more than I know? I mean, the odds are only 1 in 350 million to 1 that you might win. The better chances of hitting lightning. But the problem is, my point exactly, is when you're confronted with the voices, you don't want to believe what you've just been told. But I wrote them down, and I checked them the next day. And I was like, wow, kids, you would never believe this. They're like, oh, boy. Peter's response to Jesus' question in light of Jewish messianic expectations, they're very different from what the world wanted to hear at that point in time. Too often, evangelism, Jesus is presented in a way as some kind of superhero who solves all of our problems, guarantor of prosperity, success. Nothing could be further from Jesus' mind. He brings confusion, doubt. Family separated. We had to understand what Peter's trying to get in this. These voices are talking in Peter's head. Peter's like, I can relate with the events. Judgment about things and treatment. I can make a decision. We as 21st century disciples have a glorious benefit. We have the full scriptures. They didn't have it. All that they had at the time was our Old Testament. All they had was a part of this text. They were trusting what was being told to them and what Jesus was trying to relate to them. For you and I, we have the whole story. And yet, for some of us, we still don't believe the voices. Our cognitive dissonances tell us that we can believe one thing inwardly and live out another set of values outwardly. In other words, I can hear what I'm supposed to do, but I'm a human and I want to do what I want to do. In the gospel here, Peter instigates Jesus to the point of faith and says, no, 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 Jesus, you can't do that. Remember who this Peter is. It would be nice if we could say, okay, Mark, I get it. I get who Jesus is and what he expects of me. I'll put a check in my box. Being the life of a disciple in this journey, instantaneous accomplishments, expressing our faith, check, discipleship done. And now I can articulate my faith and all of the missions in front of me. Problem is, Jesus confronts the voices. Then he says, well, wait a minute, there's a price. Don't you love that little loophole that throws in there at the bottom line and says, okay, you want this. Well, okay, you've checked the box. But oh, by the way, let's think of the ramifications. You know, if the furnace fails, you want to know the cost. Jesus deals with it over and over in the text. He expects the disciples to want to follow him, but he says, you must deny yourself and take up your cross. How many of us really understand what he means here? That's pretty strong language. I think it's clear to be important that Jesus means taking up the cross. He's not talking about suffering that is simply part of a life of a broken world, annoying neighbors, serious illness, natural disasters. Neither is he telling them to seek out suffering or being a martyr. Jesus himself did not do that. He foresaw the inevitable outcome. But he speaks of losing our lives for his sake and the sake of the gospel. Taking up the cross means willing to suffer the consequences of following Jesus. Whatever those consequences are, it means putting Jesus' priorities ahead of our own comfort. It means willing to lose our lives by spending them for others. You know, while we were gone away, it was a natural practice for us. On the way to school in the morning, I like to stop at Dunkin' Donuts. I got about a 45-minute ride while my designated driver in the back is driving. So I'd get me a cup of coffee, and I'd sip on my coffee all the way to school. One morning, the line was backed up way outside of the drive-through and out onto the main road. And Beth is like, I'm not going to sit in that line. So she turns around and comes up and pulls up. She pulls up, and she leaves me sitting in the car. Probably a smart move on her part. But while she goes in, I notice the school of people coming and going in and out of Dunkin' Donuts. My eye catches a young man. I say he's young because he was younger than me. And he's carrying something in his hand. And he walks into Dunkin' Donuts. I happen to strain my eyes a little bit and try to catch a glimpse. It was brown, leather-bound. What do you think he had in his hand? He had a Bible. I had no idea what he was doing. I don't know if he was on a path to school. I don't know if this was his regular study time. I don't know if he was carrying a Bible to meet with others in the store. I had no intentions of what he was doing. I had no idea what his plans were. But I thought, what boldness to live in a time today to actually carry a Bible with us. I have one in my office at work, and I love to sit and read it when I'm on my lunch break. I have one at church. I have one on my phone. I have one in my backpack. I have one in my briefcase. I have a multitude of them, no matter where I go. I keep a New Testament text in my navigator. I keep one on me personally. I always have one, and I love sitting to read NIV. My point is, the price for you and I says we must be willing to carry that to witness self-preservation. The voices of yes or no before we do anything, in the sense of the disciples. We might wish that things had been differently on the path that Jesus had to follow. This Messiah-like path, the story about his torture and being killed, yet Mark announces that what Jesus did and is doing is for you and for me. This is what he calls the Evangelion, the good news of the gospel. Because of this, we know that God's life-giving power is far stronger than the worst that humans can handle it. Because of this, we know there is no sin or failure so great that it would separate us from the love of God. We know that because of this, closing elements of chapter bring out to us the full understanding of what it means. Gives us the elements of the voices of yes and no, good and evil, right or wrong, can or cannot, will or won't, faith or lack of faith, hope or failure, all summed up in a few verses in the closing thoughts of the dichotomy of thoughts. Will you follow me? Today, I speak life into these words. And he says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory and with the holy angels. What is your inner and outer voices tell me. Does Jesus speak the words in John chapter 10 and say that I am the good shepherd, sheep know my voice, hear my voice, and come in? What is your voice telling you, that what I just told you is a bunch of lies? What is your voice saying that I hear it, but I'm having trouble understanding it? There'll be many who will hear this morning. There'll be many who hear it and ignore it. There'll be many who hear it and it impacts their life. There'll be a voice that you'll be challenged with. Do you believe or don't you believe? I met with my advisor this past week, and I had the wonderful privilege of sharing with him a story. We began to talk a little bit, and I recounted the story of some of my journey. Even as my wife has heard this story before, and some of you have, he just shook his head. He said, how did you get where you're at today? How did it happen? But the truth of the matter is, the voices were pretty strong in those days. The voices telling you, don't do it, do it, don't do it. And he and I shared together. The amazing part is that God is an amazing God. I could be doing a lot of things. I could be at another church. Could be down the road. I could be at some other place. I could be doing a lot of other things. The voice could be calling you to go somewhere else or do something else. The truth of the matter is, we're here right now. You have to decide, have I told you the truth? Is he really the Messiah? Did Peter really speak the truth? Now remember, this is the same Peter when it comes to the fireside chat. Denied him three times. This is the same Peter, when the Holy Spirit came on Peter, guess what he did? He preached to thousands and they accepted Christ. That doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It just means you have to listen to the voice of Jesus calling. Truth is, I believe it. I've lived it. I will continue to live it. And I have no problem telling the world what I believe. I have no problem telling others who I know and the reason I know it. I don't have to run around shouting with a Bible in my hand, asking them if they'll accept Jesus Christ. I simply have to live and breathe the gospel. There'll be many around me who will not accept it. I understand that. There'll be many who deny it, but you know what? The story says Jesus left the 99 in search of one. I may never know the full impact of who I've touched in my life along this journey. I'll never know if it's my words, the voice, or what. But I know that we have been called. Don't listen to the voices around you. Listen to the voice that matters, and that is the Messiah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time that you've given to us today. We thank you that we can celebrate our faith is the victory. Father, we know that we have been encamped along the hills of light. It's time for Christian soldiers to rise. Press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe, the veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Father, for faith is our victory. Father, I pray that you'll give us faith today. You'll give us victory. That we will hear the voice of God and we will answer. In the holy name of Christ. Hymn number 678, Faith is the Victory.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers ride, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. the foe in vales below. Let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the painful greeting note that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph run. By faith they like the whirlwind's breath swept on o'er the field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dead array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all heard above. The earth shall tremble neath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. And onward from the hills of life, our hearts with love aflame, we'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' country name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Father, I pray that faith will be our victory today. God, that you'll speak in and through us, that your voice will be heard among the multitude. Father, let us answer the call in Jesus' loving name. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome day. Go in His peace. Thank you.